Support for Science Questions is provided by Apogee Instruments of Cache Valley, creating innovative sensors for measuring climate change, sustainable food production, and renewable energy. For more information, visit apogeeinstruments.com.
I think we've been looking at burning wood for many thousands of years.
Welcome to Science Questions. I am Sherry Quint.
And I am Susie Montgomery.
You are listening to a group of Alliance House members in the parking lot of their apartment complex, once an old motel just off State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. Now nicely renovated to house 9 residents who can live independently but are in treatment for mental illness.
Watch your paws.
Feral cats surround the place and are well fed here. One rubs up against Tinica's lawn chair as she tosses more pine cones into the copper fire pit. The Alliance House, in partnership with Valley Mental Health, a nonprofit organization that has been the major healthcare provider across the Wasatch Front for the past 2 decades, provides a clubhouse environment for adults struggling with severe and persistent mental illness. They offer education, employment opportunities, and other services to help rebuild their dignity and life skills so they can proudly integrate back into the community.
What I get out of it now is the place to go, the something to do that the job provides for you. But the therapy brought me out of my mental illness. The dazed and confused look on my face is gone, and I've gotten the 18 months of stability. That's all from the Work Order Day, the work therapy program here at Alliance House.
Robert was diagnosed with schizophrenia after becoming a truck driver, where he spent long hours on the road, often staying awake through the night. This literally drove him to the edge and landed him, luckily, at the Alliance House, where he says the structure and support here helped him recover.
Hi, welcome to Alliance House. This is a work therapy program, and we're made up of 3 units. We have a career unit, career development unit, a business unit, and a culinary unit. I'll show you around. And we prepare breakfast for $1, lunch is $1.50. Every real nutritious meal, this is our kitchen.
What kind of meals do you prepare?
Everything from salads and to pork chops and fried potatoes. The members and the staff work together in the kitchen. They develop the menus, they go shopping, they come up with recipes to make, and they cook the food and clean up afterwards. It's all done by members and staff. But there's not enough staff to support all the work, so the members have to pitch in and help. And that's the therapy.
Robert was recently hired full-time by Valley Mental Health as an intake clerk. Another member, Tinica, was a practicing family law attorney until hospitalized for bipolar disorder, so many times that her doctor told her she had to be committed. She quit her job and moved in with her mother, sleeping on her couch for several months. It was then she discovered the Alliance House.
I went from being, as an attorney, highly, highly productive to non-functioning. And I remember the first time I came here, I was helping one of the staff people roll napkins around silverware, and I just bawled. I was like, someplace where I can actually be and feel useful after, months had gone by without practicing or doing anything. And so now I feel like I'm back in the throes. I still practice a little bit of law. I just argued a case before the Utah Supreme Court, and then I've got 2 cases that are just kind of random. But it's like I didn't have the ability to do that without Alliance House in essence, normalizing it for me. And it seems strange because it's like, would any employment normalize it for me? I think that it's Alliance House's ability to say, despite the mental illness, you can work, you can be productive, you can, and not just in an employment sense, but in every functional sense. And that's where I think it becomes really important.
The Alliance House provides what they call colleagues or members, a space to convene, build relationships, and job skills. Their philosophy is to eliminate any hierarchy between care providers and those with mental illness, opposing the stigma associated with mental disorders and promoting equality and trust. Through the clubhouse, Tinica had affordable housing down the street and worked for Valley as a care coordinator. She mentored fellow members by sharing her personal struggle with mental illness and guides them through the treatment process, ensuring they navigate benefits, doctors, and medications.
My fear is we have some clients, for example, I have a client, we spend an enormous amount of time saying, what do you say to the voices? When the voices say something, what can you say back to them that's going to stop, that's going to make you feel better? When the voices tell you you're stupid, you know, can you say you're just my mental illness? And, I mean, you know, are they going to pay for that? I don't know. We'll have to see.
But there has been a radical change, leaving both providers and patients in a cloud of uncertainty. As of 2011, United Health Group, a multi-billion dollar for-profit health insurance company, has taken the reins of the state mental health care contract and has delegated a subsidiary, Optum, to manage all the funds for the mental health care system in Salt Lake County. The new management has a new philosophy that minimizes inpatient care and focuses on efficiency, increasing the number of contractors, providing more services in less time and for less money. The Alliance House hopes to continue business as usual with the same model. In 2010, they had 12 members graduate from high school and put 30% of their members back to work.
So we're greatly proud of doubling that national average.
Dan Braun is the executive director of Alliance House, which oversees roughly 400 members who have been diagnosed with a severe and persistent mental illness.
I look at the relationships as the glue. For any of the work or education they're doing in the clubhouse, relationships are that glue that helps hold everything together and provides the support that's necessary as well.
Tinica is proud of these relationships. In fact, she says she has made lifelong friends out of working so closely with other members mentoring each other. Under the new management, she worries about maintaining the funding and intimacy the Alliance House provides.
Our concern is if we had to close Clubhouse because of a lack of funding, we would have a lot of people who would be struggling. We have one member who wants to make sure we're open every day until 5 because he's going to be here till 5 because he needs the structure. And so you have a lot of people with lack of structure. And if you compare the cost of Clubhouse to the cost of jails for crimes that are committed, even petty crimes, vagrancy, drug use, that kind of stuff, you compare those two, the cost is minuscule to keep Clubhouse open and keep people supported in the community. So it's critical.
It is important to note the Alliance House is its own nonprofit. And though they currently get a large portion of their funding through Valley Mental Health, and now Optum, they aren't solely dependent on it. But Dan has his concerns as well about the future and the implications of the contract change from Valley Mental Health to Optum.
My main concern, and this is speaking as a therapist as well and knowing people in managed health care, is episodes of care and the pre-authorization process. I'm afraid that members won't be able to get the services they need because of these pre-authorizations and episodes of care.
An episode of care is the set of services required to manage a specific medical condition of a patient.
I work to look at it like somebody with diabetes. Oftentimes it takes different amounts of time and different services from their medical provider to get their diabetes under control and manageable. And we don't usually say, you can see a doctor 5 times. And you can have such and such services for 3 weeks. And if you aren't better by that time, oh well, you're on your own. And I'm afraid that's what might happen to people with mental health issues. If they don't stabilize in a certain amount of time or with a certain amount of services, oh well. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where recovery happens, and it is so positive because of that. It's exhausting, and it's the most rewarding piece because we see the members succeed.
Since our interview with Tinica, she has secured a full-time job as a Valley Mental Health contract attorney. Congratulations, Tinica. In part one of our program, called In the State of Mental Breakdown, we introduced the mental health crisis. Here is a quick look back.
Valley Mental Health has announced the layoffs of up to 125 employees. How will that affect the services the agency provides?
The access to a psychiatrist is impossible. I feel like I'm getting less care than maybe what I need.
We're not treating diseases, we're treating persons. And even if they share the same diagnosis, that diagnosis is completely a different entity in one individual than it is in another. And the kind of relationship you form takes unique personal skills to make that therapeutic experience work.
We used to always talk about how the biggest psychiatric hospital in the state is in the jail and the prison. Basically, little psychiatric hospitals inside of all the jails and prisons in every county in this state and around the country.
I definitely have seen an increase in the number of patients we see with psychiatric issues or psychiatric complaints. That's been my experience, and it also is supported by looking at some of the numbers over the last few years, where it has increased over the last couple of years by about 7%. And in terms of the psychiatric patients, they make up about probably 7 or 8% of the patients that we do see in the ER.
We need a mechanism for rethinking mental health care in which the severe, persistent mentally ill are the first priority.
Dr. Noel Gardner is a clinical psychiatrist who resigned in the summer of 2011 as a clinician from Valley because he was fed up with how the administration was micromanaging his efforts with patients. And upon leaving, he was able to talk candidly with us about the crisis.
What happened is, after talking to the mayor, and the mayor wrote a letter to the board of directors encouraging the board to meet with the providers. This was a group of the prescribing providers, advanced practice nurses and psychiatrists, which we did. And we laid out our deep concerns. And the board basically dismissed us summarily out of hand, basically showed absolutely no interest in our concerns. At that point, we felt desperate. We felt the system was in such grave danger, and we could see the handwriting was on the wall, that we were at this tipping point. And at that point, we spoke to a reporter from the Salt Lake Tribune, who put out, I think, a quite fair front page article. And at that point, we were called in and disciplined, and it was quite clear that we were not in any way to speak to the media again. And it was only after resigning that I was responsive to your asking me to speak.
Dr. Gardner does not lay all the blame on Valley Mental Health and says it's a fundamental issue in health programs in general, where administration and bureaucracy call the shots, and not the clinicians, whose relationships with the patients lend to policy and models that are more patient-centered and therefore more effective. He traces this ubiquitous issue to the 1950s, mid-60s, years ago, when the solution to overflowing state hospitals, housing thousands of patients on big compounds with little treatment, reallocated care to the community. Eventually, the community care system was overwhelmed and diluted by patients that were not severe cases, but were just the same entitled to care. At that point, care for the severe mentally ill was diluted along with funds, and Gardner sees what he calls an entrepreneurial model evolve as a result, to maximize efficiency and lower costs. A needed solution, he says, though not always with the patient at heart. Optum is optimistic. Rick Elleriaga is the executive director of Optum Health in Salt Lake County.
So in working with Salt Lake County, we are working to bring innovative programs and services that have historically not been here, expanding our network in our fee-for-service market, which is more of a fee-for-service model, as well as working and continuing to work with our primary provider, which is Valley Mental Health, to coordinate services. Optum Health believes in hope and is a recovery-supported organization, and we support our clients, and if there's any need or anyone who needs to access services, to please contact us directly, and that number is 877-370-8172.
Optum is the new solution. For the first time in decades, Valley's multi-million-dollar annual contract went up for grabs, and after some stiff competition, Optum prevailed and was awarded a $47 million contract by Salt Lake County to rehaul the system. Tim Whalen is the Salt Lake County Mental Health Director.
One of the reasons why I believe Optum won was in their proposal. They were describing a way to work with our clients that really integrated very cutting-edge practices that had great outcomes. And they just really put together a proposal that said, we're good. We want to do this right. We want to use evidence-based practices in your community. There's lots of opportunity to really do better. And I think that's why they won. And really, 8 months into it, we're starting to see a lot of new exciting things unfold as we've worked with them. And so I'm very optimistic on where we're heading and the possible outcome. Another new program that we're starting, hopefully in mid-June, a receiving center. And a receiving center is a facility where when a law enforcement officer is dispatched to a psychiatric crisis and the individual is involuntary, they do not want to go, They could be assaultive. They could present a harm to themselves or others. We want to centralize a facility for law enforcement that individual can be taken, and in a very humane way, we can intervene in their life, gives them a chance to calm down and time out, hopefully avoid inpatient hospitalization again, and we can work with them, get a peer specialist, someone that's been through that process in their life, be able to sit with them and talk to them, and try to get them to be more of a voluntary participant in what needs to occur. So Mayor Kroon and his administration, the county council, have been very supportive of these services and the development of these services. They want to, first and foremost, they want to do what's right for the folks that are suffering with mental illness and addiction disorders.
Optum has a lot of support and are avant-garde in being able to evaluate and allocate resources with proper documentation and high accountability, with an offer to do it cheaper. It's a tight-run ship. This collaboration was appealing to the county that was both frustrated with the lack of communication from Valley and also needed to establish an infrastructure to better oversee mental health care and bring it up to par. Deb Falvo, the former CEO of Valley Mental Health, was under sharp criticism from many in the mental health care field and did not renew her contract with Valley in 2011. She is now a consultant to Valley. She started there 30 years ago as a nurse and says she has witnessed some dramatic changes.
Having been in the business this long, I've had an opportunity to see when funding was pretty much, the dollars flowed pretty easily with very little in terms of outcome requirements or even documentation requirements. We've been much slower to get to that than physical health care.
Before the Optum takeover, Deb was already implementing a more entrepreneurial approach.
Our physicians have had an opportunity under the old model to spend a lot of time with clients. And the model that is more similar to the rest of the country in terms of productivity, in terms of the way the funding works, in terms of just the time spent, there will be less actual time spent with each client. And I know some of our clients are nervous about that, and some of our physicians are nervous about that. What we're being asked to do is not unusual for the rest of the country, but it is unusual and new for us.
And obviously, I believe that we've been good stewards of the dollars and good stewards of the care.
That's the point of contention. Because of the new model, where patients spend less time with their doctor, and because funds at Valley are anywhere from 65 to 80% of what they were in the height of funding, many patients are lost negotiating the system. To address the problem, the county and Optum have outsourced the crisis line to University of Utah Neuropsychiatric Institute, known as UNI. Waylon explains.
So we're going to have 3 mobile crisis outreach teams, and they're now in place, and you access them by dialing the UNI crisis line. And these teams can be dispatched anywhere in Salt Lake County where there's a psychiatric or behavioral health crisis.
We're busy. We're busy all the time.
And is it 24 hours?
24 hours a day. That's right.
Barry Rose, manager of the UNI Crisis Center, says they received over 3,000 calls a month, with a notable increase in the past year. Evenings are their busiest times, and the most common calls are lost patients trying to find out how to see a doctor and get prescriptions filled, depression, anxiety, and suicide.
We've had some callers already that have called us here we had one person that called us, and he was calling from his car and his cell phone, and he was thinking about killing himself, and he talked to one of our crisis workers in the evening for probably an hour. After an hour, he felt comfortable and safe enough and trusted our crisis worker enough to kind of tell us where he was. And we were able to get the police over to help with the situation. And he's since called us back and was very appreciative. So they'll call us and We'll give them emotional support. Oftentimes it's a matter of helping them talk through whatever the issue is that's overwhelming them so they can sort of get their balance back, get a better perspective of things, and help prioritize how they may move forward and plan to kind of solve some of the problems that are overwhelming them. Many times it's just that's enough. And then let them know that there are people that care and there are people in the community and there are a lot of there are resources to help people. There are less resources than there used to be. And that is a problem, and there's a lot of people calling looking for services and without insurance coverage and those kind of things. And it's getting tougher and tougher for those folks. And there are more people, I think, in crisis in our community right now, and they need somewhere to turn. And so we're hoping that we can, again, kind of be there for people and help give them some support and direction.
Barry started at Valley Mental Health in 1988, working in the crisis field. Since Valley could no longer afford to manage the crisis center after all the funding cuts, the county moved it to Uni last year and hired Barry to manage it. He is with Valley in their prime and now is witness to Optum's takeover and the stress it has put on patients.
I don't know that anybody understood the radical change that would be required, you know, for them to come in and take over that contract. I think it's been really difficult. It's really difficult for a lot of folks with really severe mental illness right now. There's a lot of uncertainty, and those things are really hard for people with mental illness to cope with. The biggest problem right now, I think, is the wait, because even if one of the sliding scale clinics or a clinic that will take somebody without any funding, even if they are appropriate to go there, often the waits are months long now. And so that's really a problem, and we just have to kind of try and support people and help them kind of create, enlarge their support systems however they can and try and work with them to help get them through. The economy the way it is and the legislative attitudes the way they are around money right now, the social services and people with disabilities tend to be some of the first folks that lose services. And really, those are the folks that really need them the most.
The phones are off the hook, but Barry has the energy and experience to weather the storm.
This is, I hope, going to be our way of filling that gap, and so we can help provide services to people when they need them, regardless of if they are meeting any kind of criteria. It's an exciting time, I think, for this program and for me to kind of be able to create that here through Uni.
Uni, for now, is an access point, acting as a friend who listens and consoles in a time of need, and an example of part of Optum's strategy to increase the number of community organizations involved in caring for the mentally ill with points of access like NAMI in Salt Lake County to quell the confusion when patients don't know where to go. Rick, the executive director of Optum Health in Salt Lake County, says they are aware and have that covered.
Optum Health, you know, provides and believes in hope, and we support recovery. We know that this has been a change for the community. We are working with Salt Lake County and our network to ensure that there's little to no disruption. As we identify opportunities, we are working for solutions to resolve these issues very, very quickly. And although we hear that there has been clients who are not getting services, again, I encourage everyone who needs help to contact us directly, and I'll repeat our number. It's 877-370-8172. And again, anyone needing help can contact us here at Optum, and we would help support them to get the services that are needed.
I am not optimistic about Optum, even though their name is a nice marketing name, because it has a whole different set of primary goals and objectives. And they are not ones that ally with best clinical practices, regardless of sort of the discussion. They may do some things quite well, but there is a fundamental intrinsic conflict that continues to be problematic. And I think as psychiatrists, we have a civic as well as professional responsibility, particularly to our sickest patients, our severe psychotic, chronically ill, severe patients, to be sure they get all the services they need.
But Tim Whalen from Salt Lake County says that Optum's truly aligned incentive is to provide as many quality mental health care services as possible to as many Medicaid individuals as they can.
There is no incentive for them to deny care, to limit care. If they do that, they're actually the following year are hurting themselves in how this payment structure works. Okay. So I think we were very, I'm not patting ourselves on the back, but we were pretty bright. We had a national consultant that helped us to put together a contract that really places the incentive on Optum to really go out and find and treat as many of the folks as we can with best services.
It's a trend across the nation, and it's the bureaucratization and a sort of assembly line production approach to healthcare generally, but it's so uniquely damaging in mental health. I mean, you might be able to do this in orthopedic surgery, which is very procedure-based, and people are asleep during their surgery. You know, some of those standardization may be very helpful. And we have to decide what needs to be standardized and what doesn't. But I think at the core of it is that mental health treatment is about the treatment of persons, not the treatment of diseases. And while the disease may be there, and there are elements of the disease, understanding it and treating it, that are important, it's really the treating of persons that is the foundation of quality mental health care.
Noel is concerned about where Optum will prioritize their resources. He's skeptical that economics will be the driving factor, and the system will be even harder to navigate.
You've worked with the same provider for the last 10 years and learned to trust and work with them. And suddenly you find out that your pay went to somebody else over here, your housing's done something else, your transportation's been carved out to somebody else, your providers have been moved around to different places with different people. That becomes completely unmanageable. And so as a clinician, I am not at all optimistic or happy about this movement. I think it's the wrong system. They may be very nice people. I've met people in this, and I think they're nice, well-meaning people. But it is the wrong construct for this population.
In what has been called a healthcare crisis, someone needs to step in and make some changes. And Optum is doing just that.
An example of that, an innovative program that we're working right now with Valley Mental Health, is a jail diversion program, which provides a service to inmates who are released from jail, a pickup service and delivery to actual clinical services to help support their medication management or fill prescriptions and or counseling services, that we're working with the jail as well as Valley Mental Health in Salt Lake County to provide those services, where historically those individuals who are released or discharged from the jail had been released at all hours and may not have had the opportunity to be linked with services in a timely manner.
It has been less than a year since Optum took over, and under Director Rick Elariaga and working closely with Salt Lake County, they are now implementing solutions. Expanding their wing to oversee and incorporate more mental health service providers is a major strategy. Not only have they partnered with UNI to manage the crisis line, but also 4th Street Clinic, where they provide health care for the homeless, Volunteers for America, with mobile outreach teams that frequent places like libraries, and Valley Mental Health. We met up with Gary Larsonaire, who became the director of Valley in January 2012, to get the update. Since Valley has lost the county Medicaid contract of $47 million, Larsonaire has had to restructure and make some radical cuts.
What I was trying to do, and what I've been trying to do, is to match the sacrifices that the clinicians have made at the management level, so that they're not trying to balance a budget with a very onerous administrative overhead percentage that was built on a company that was, you know, 20% bigger than it currently is. And so those have been some really tough decisions that we've had to make, but they're the right thing to do for our employees and for our clinicians and for the clients and for the community.
A common complaint is there aren't enough doctors available to see. And under this new model, time with patients will be even more limited. Gary envisions a solution where physicians won't be as bogged down in paperwork and documentation, making the most out of the limited face time with their patients.
We can dream up all kinds of neat stuff in the ivory tower and roll it out and just create more problems than we solve. So we said, we've got an idea. They had given us some feedback. The nurses and the doctors had given us some feedback, and we said, let's try this. One of our doctors said, I am spending, quote unquote, spending less time with each patient than I was before. But what I've come to realize is that I wasn't really present because I was worried about the fax machine. I was worried about the phone call back. I was worried about keying this data into the computer. Now, the person was in the room with me, and so you could count that as time. But I can't say that I was truly focused on them as much as I was all these distractions. And now that I have less time, but I don't have any of those distractions, I can truly focus on that person's needs and understand and listen to them. I think the quality of care has improved. That's the kind of feedback you dream to hear as an administrator, and we're hearing it, and so we're excited, and we're rolling that out where the doctors are willing.
And another strategy is to track data, looking at the numbers every day.
And so we have to have our administrators in Summit and Chula counties and Salt Lake counties waking up knowing certain critical metrics every single day, just like the weather for me when I came here from Texas, and that is, how many people do I have in the jail? What is my recidivism rate? What broke down in our service array that they're in the emergency room and they're in the hospital in the first place? And that just needs to be a regular, everyday discussion, part of our dialogue.
The novelist and historian Wallace Stegner, who came of age in Salt Lake City, is one of the greatest writers about Utah and the West. He wrote, "One cannot be pessimistic about the West. This is the native home of hope." That remains true, and whether you're someone who needs services or a provider working to help clients, there is hope. Giving hope to people together with a path to recovery and resiliency is what we do.
This series was inspired by a concern being voiced throughout the community that the mental health system is breaking down, leaving some of our most fragile citizens in jeopardy. We don't have all the answers yet, but through this sharing of perspective and ideas, we hope to get closer to doing the right thing. This struggle involves all of us, and speaking of struggle, this one goes out to my SQ partner, Susie, with special mention to Andrea Egan and Kim Schmidt for their love and support. In Kim's words, love and strength forward.
Access Utah is a production of Utah Public Radio. You can listen to this episode or previous episodes of Access Utah anytime at upr.org, where you can find a link to subscribe to our podcast. This is Utah Public Radio, KUSR HD1 89.5 Logan, KUSK HD1 88.5 Vernal, KUSL HD1 89.3 Richfield, KUST HD1 88.7 Moab, and KUSU FM HD1 91.5 Logan.
Support for Science Questions comes from the College of Science at Utah State University, where graduates' acceptance rates to medical, dental, and graduate schools exceed national averages. When students and faculty learn together, discovery follows. Information at usu.edu/science.